It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pittsburgh's Mark Cherna has spent some four decades serving needy children and families. For the last 17 years, he's been the director of the Allegheny County Department of Human Services. And recently, he was presented with the first Lifetime Achievement Award from Casey Family Programs, the nation's largest foster child foundation. The award acknowledges leaders who have advanced in the field of child welfare and made a difference in the lives of the families they serve. He joins us now in Studio A. Mr. Cherna, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the Lifetime Achievement Award and welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
First of all, what does it mean to win a prestigious award like this?
Well, it's very gratifying and very humbling. I've been doing this work for quite a while, and you kind of just go along and do the work. And to be recognized nationally for the work you're doing by peers is really very special. And it really is an award that is a shared award because I may be the leader, but the work is done by my staff, the work is done by our providers, by the community. It's really the relationships and the kind of things we do together is what really gets the results. And I'm benefiting from the really good, hard work of really very dedicated people.
And you are from the New York area.
Yes.
So describe what it was like when you first came to Pittsburgh and why you came here in the first place.
Okay. Well, I was in New Jersey, and I was the number two person there running the state system. In 1982, Governor Kaine had appointed an eight-person management team to fix the Division of Youth and Family Services. It was supposed to be a six-month gig, and I ended up staying there over 13 years. But I was ready for a change, and an advertisement for a national search for the Allegheny County Children and Youth Director came across my desk. And kind of as a lark, I figured I would put my resume in, but I never expected to leave the New York, New Jersey area and come west, so to speak. But I was asked to interview, and I figured I would go for the experience of the interview. And the folks here really impressed me with their dedication and their commitment and seemed to really be very serious about wanting to change. And I never expected to stay in Pittsburgh very long. I figured I'd be here a couple of years and I'd go back east, but this is a very special place. As I know a lot of folks listening certainly know that firsthand, but it's really a very special place to live and work. So 18 years later, I'm still here.
Here you are. Well, what happened after those first 2 years? I understand that when you came here, you've had some regrets about the decision you made to come to Pittsburgh.
Well, I never really had regrets, but it was a real challenge. I knew that I was getting into a dysfunctional system, basically. We had caseloads that were out of control. There were a lot of children who were dying. We had a big budget deficit and couldn't even figure out who we were paying for and how we were paying. We really had no systems in place here.
Why was it like that?
Well, over the years, I guess, you know, things happen. And, you know, there hadn't been the resources and the expertise to really do it. And in this business, it's almost like an assembly line because you can't put abused, neglected children on a waiting list. If you get a call, you have to go out. And if you start getting behind, it gets out of control very quickly. So if staff leave and then you have to increase their caseloads, the ones who are left, and then it becomes impossible for them to do the jobs, then they leave. You know, you just can't stay on top of it because the cases keep coming in. You got to keep dealing with it. And it gets you can get behind very, very quickly.
So how did you go about trying to fix this myriad of problems that you saw when you first got here nearly 20 years ago?
Well, I did two things. One, internally, I put some things in place to stabilize. I had all of our administrative staff go back in the field to help the existing caseworkers to get caseloads under control. The commissioners allowed me to fill caseworker vacancies to deal with that. I partnered with the administrative judge, Max Baer, at the time to really try to get caseloads under control through the court system. And most importantly, I started going out and talking to everybody, all the community folks. So we were really vilified and people couldn't stand what we did. And so it was a matter of how do you start building trust and confidence and building relationships. So I'd go to consumers and advocacy groups and ask what they thought the problems were and what they thought needed to be done to fix it. And I was out just about every night and whoever would have me and really trying to work with the community about what needed to happen. We also established really great partnerships with the foundation community, with universities. One of the most significant and early things that really started to turn the tide was Reed Smith and Dan Booker, who was managing partner at the time, agreed to do pro bono adoptions for us. We had a backlog of 1,600 children waiting to be adopted, and we didn't have the resources to do that. So Reed Smith started this in 96, and they're still doing it 18 years later. They've probably done close to 2,000 adoptions free of charge for the county. They love doing it. We love having them do it. Because to protect children, it really is a community responsibility. Government cannot do this alone. And folks really have to all work together and own the system. And in Allegheny County, we've been fortunate that people have stepped up. When we've asked for help, people have really risen to the occasion. And it's been a great working relationship on all fronts, which really makes a difference here.
So as you look back from a perspective of nearly 20 years, how have things changed and improved in terms of just advancements in the field of child welfare?
Well, I think people for the most part think that they get a pretty good service now, that we do a good job. When I first came in, we had 3,318 children in placement and out-of-home care. Today we have 1,408. Which is quite significant in terms of reductions. The majority of those children, the 1,408, are living with relatives. They're not living with strangers. They're not living in congregate care. There's a lot less fatalities that happen and injuries. And more children are living safely in their own homes than ever before. We're viewed as now a model system. People come from all over to see how we do business. One of the things that really helped us is we have an integrated human service department. So the families we deal with, the vast majority of the parents love their children, but they have a disease of addiction or mental illness or poverty-related stressors that prevent them from adequately caring for their children. So if you have the ability to provide those services for those folks, you can minimize the harm, and then children can live safely in their own homes. So having the ability to bring things together has really made an impact.
We're talking with Mark Cherna, who has recently been presented with the first Lifetime Achievement Award from KC Family Programs, the nation's largest foster child foundation, acknowledging his work advancing the field of child welfare. And you talked about this triage that you did when you first came here, assessing a difficult situation. And clearly, you demonstrated some management skills that have landed you in the position that you are currently in as the director of the Allegheny Department of Human Services. But before that happened, you worked in the trenches. You were at a residential youth center. Describe the experiences of working one-on-one with these kids and the problems that you were dealing with and how you dealt with them.
Well, yeah, it goes back. I started as a youth worker over 40 years ago. But these children have had issues. They're in these programs. They have had a lot of trauma, but they're good kids. And I think once you get to know these kids, you see their positives, their strengths, their ability that they really can succeed if you really help them. I got frustrated working as a youth worker because we would stabilize kids and they would do pretty well while they're there. Then they'd go home without any services, and before you knew it, they were having to deal with the same things that got them into trouble in the first place. And it really was frustrating to then read about them in the newspaper about how they either were killed or they killed someone else or something like that. So I moved on and eventually ended up in management, and I think I can make a bigger difference doing that. I mean, doing the work one-on-one is the toughest thing. So I have such respect for my workers and our agencies and the folks who really are on the ground doing the hard work with families. It is nothing more difficult, I think, than that.
When you were working in New Jersey and encountering problems, did you bring it to people's attention, and how did they react to what you were telling them about? From being out there working with these kids and then saying, hey, we're not doing the follow-up. You know, we work with them, we help them, and then they go home and then all these problems happen and we need to – there needs to be something more in place.
Well, I think what I've learned is I know those situations now. So I make sure now in a position to actually make a difference and make an impact of the kind of things that need to be in place. And what I do now is I regularly go out and meet with staff and I meet with consumers. And I've talked to folks all the time, so I listen to them about what they need, and then we try to make that happen. When I was coming up, that never happened. You never saw administrators. So I know to be effective, you really got to be on the ground. We also have a very strong director's action line, a complaint line here. So anybody who has a problem or is not satisfied can call up and get an independent look of what's transpired. So they feel like they have had a second opinion, basically, in terms of what's going on. It's so important because it's the taxpayers who are paying our salaries, and they have a right to demand excellence, and they should expect excellence, and we need to give them excellent services, and we have to have the highest standards and really meet people's needs. And I often say, you know, to when you're dealing with people's children, I mean, there's nothing more emotional and more important than that. And we have to take every, you know, try everything to try to help families so they can get it together to keep their kids and keep these children safe, which is first and foremost. And we're demonstrating that for the most part that happens. Now, that said, there's always going to be issues. There's always going to be a tragedy. You do the best you can, but you can't, you know, in 20/20 hindsight, you can't see into the future. It's a checks and balances system. So in order to remove children, you got to go to court. You have to have evidence. Child has an attorney. The parents have attorneys. Everybody gives their best case, and then the judge makes the decision. But you're still dealing with what happens in the future, and so many things can impact negatively or positively that are out of your control. But that said, I think, you know, we have made a lot of strides through the years, and we're going to continue. One thing that I think is real important in Allegheny County, and I've been very fortunate, is that all of my bosses, you know, from the commissioners on and every county executive I've had, has been extremely supportive. And that makes such a difference that they are willing to help get you the resources to listen to what's going on, to be sensitive to that. So we've been very fortunate to have really good leadership in our county, and I think that really makes a difference too.
You started in this field professionally in the early 70s, and there were drugs then. There are drugs now. Are the problems different, or have they changed at all? And or have the kids changed from the way they were back then to the problem children you deal with today?
I don't think they've changed too much, but I think back in the old days, in my early days, I mean, we viewed the parents as the enemy, and, you know, that how could these folks do these horrible things to kids and not really look at them as human beings and all of that. As I've got older and became more experienced, I realized that there's a lot more to it, and that a lot of these parents really are decent people that have issues and need help. So can you help them around that? The drugs back in the early 70s wasn't as bad, but we had the crack epidemic going into the 80s, and that really had caseload skyrocket, and folks didn't really know how to deal with that as much. Now, we do better around those kind of things, and, you know, I run the drug and alcohol programs too, so we really try to get people into treatment. We try to get them engaged. We do an awful lot of things with the recovery movement, and you know, we find people who are in recovery are best at trying to get other folks to get treatment and get help and to deal with it that way. And we've had some strides in terms of treatment, but the problems are just as strong and just as great now as they were then, you know, but it's how do you deal with things to minimize risk so families can stay together.
Is there a different dynamic in dealing with families today? There's this perceived breakup of the traditional family unit. Mm-hmm. And it seems that for whatever reason that more parents are struggling to raise their children. If that is the case, you know, what's it been like? How much has it increased the burden on people like you?
Yeah, it's a big issue. And what we've tried to do to address some of that is we've instituted conferencing and teaming. So it's really a family engagement process of bringing in the family and anybody they feel could be a support in terms of what are your issues, how can we help, and how do we resolve some of those things. We also created family support centers in this county. We have about 30 of them, which really try to help families with young children who are isolated and need assistance in different ways to support folks and look at their strengths all the time and their capabilities as opposed to what's wrong. We also very much engage families now. It used to be a worker would come in, some young workers right out of school, well, I know what you need. And, you know, they really didn't have a clue. They didn't have children of their own. They didn't have any real life experience and all that. Now it's very different. It's really that engagement process of listening to folks and seeing what they feel is necessary and how do you help them to get what they need. And that's a very different dynamic, and I think it's very positive.
And how do you see things changing or improving in the future? What would you like to see?
Well, I think the progress we're making is good. We're moving now much more to evidence-based programs because we have a lot of programs, but we never really had the data to really know, is it working or not? Now we're doing much more evaluation. We have much better computer systems. We have much better data to see, does a program really work? Does it make the outcomes that you're looking for? So we're much more towards evidence. We're really trying to be very careful in what we're putting out there because the dollars keep going down. The demand keeps going up. So being very strategic in how to bring things together and constantly trying to look at how to improve a system. Because we're never really going to be a great system. Nobody is in this country, in this world. So it's how do you just keep trying to improve and do better? And that's the challenge. And I think we're making some progress.
Our guest has been Mark Cherna. He's director of the Allegheny County Department of Human Services and recently received the first Lifetime Achievement Award from Casey Family Programs, the nation's largest foster child foundation, for work he's done to advance the field of child welfare. Mark Cherna, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh coming up on 90.5 WESA.